It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Hello, Citizen Lobbyist.
How are you doing, Mike?
I am, it seems, repeating the same phrase when we have these conversations. I'm in recovery mode.
Boy, howdy.
Yes, boy, howdy. The last Tuesday, two meetings at the Palmer City Council chambers. The first one that went reasonably well. That was about the budget, where there were presentations, three presentations by the fire chief, the police chief, and the superintendent of the airport. But then came the regular meeting, which was anything but regular. Well, let's maybe take care of the first meeting. It was an hour-long budget meeting. Were you able to observe what happened there?
I was able to listen to it, Mike. I didn't take a lot of notes, so maybe you'll fill in a few things. Note was a meeting that Mr. Carrington was leading because Mayor DeVille DeVries was in another meeting with it sounded like newly elected assembly people from the borough. So she came in later. I didn't exactly get the time that she came in, but started off pretty smooth with Mr. Carrington holding the gavel. They started out with some pretty good, nice to hear some public testimony that is concise and clear what people want. And this was sticking to the topic at hand, which was the budget. And it was some folks that are advocating for consideration to refurbish the tennis courts in town.
Oh, yes.
Sounded like the total cost is about $200,000. And the Rotaries of Palmer and Wasilla, if I got this right, Mike, have already raised $40,000 towards that.
That's correct. They have definitely shown the way. Yes.
Yeah. I think one of the tennis coaches were there. And it was nice to hear about all the cooperation that the Rotaries within the two cities have and doing what's good for kids. And over 300 kids have been involved in that program. So
good news.
Always like starting out that way, don't you?
Yes, yes.
And then the little notes that I had on the fire department sounded like there was a good PowerPoint presented by that pretty new fire chief. It sounded like it was pretty concise. And it was nice. Kudos for having him have that. And just hopefully those will get included in the packets, actually, would be one step better even.
Yeah, that would be good to be available, especially on the website and so on, make that happen. If you watch the video, and we did have video, although we had a slight interruption for a little period of time during the regular meeting, both meetings were covered in the video, and you can make out some of what was provided there. But I would agree. He hit the mark. He was able to convey where the fire department and the two departments, because there's really two departments, one that does rescue and one that's fire and one that does the other areas. And what astounded a number of members, maybe all members of the council, was just how far up the Glen Highway they go, almost to Lake Louise.
100 mile 131 or something, I can't remember.
Exactly. I can tell you that some of the people who live up that area, well, there was a not-so-long-ago accident, an event that they responded to, were surprised. Those residents were surprised that it was Palmer that was coming to their rescue. So kudos again, because that's a major effort. Because, as you know, especially in winter, if you drive anywhere toward Glacier View and beyond, it may take you a while, a few hours. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people are used to having state troopers that carry, you know, cover those areas beyond city boundaries, but we don't have a state police force. You know, I mean, we have some forestry and that sort of thing, but not emergency wise. So this is that was a really good point that he made, and I hope more people recognize that for what the area they do have to cover with a pretty small force.
Yep. And then they segued quickly to the chief of police, and he didn't have a PowerPoint. But I think, in my estimation of all of the materials presented during that budget meeting, the most significant it had to do with something the police chief brought up, which was the situation as far as staffing is concerned, where the department has lost some members and is likely to lose some more, and is becoming a very young department, which is not a necessarily good thing to have.
Right, yeah. The way I understood it, Mike, there are two officers down, so two people have resigned. They're expecting two more to resign, and they're down one police dispatcher, too. So that's pretty troubling when you have as small a force as they have, and not really, they have to borrow from the Anchorage training program, which I understand is 6 months long, and then maybe some trooper training program. But wow, that's not a great feeling.
It takes something a year and a half or so to really get someone into the groove, and it's partly pay. We do not pay our officers a competitive salary when you're looking at troopers or looking at Anchorage or other places. So the solution, I did not hear a comprehensive solution. I heard a reference to what the manager will present later on down the road in this budget that may be a beginning toward a solution that will help with this.
Well, I think one point that he made that I'd like to question him a little bit more on is the fact that he said that most of his crew or his officers do not live within the city limits because they can't afford to live in the city limits. That could be the case, but I would point to the fact that a lot of the Anchorage police force does not live in the city of Anchorage either. So I think there may be more to peel back on that. I was thinking as I listened to that, it'd be really nice to know how the different police forces are staffed and where their employees live.
How that really does shake out. Could be very useful for a discussion. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a recommendation you can make either to the manager and or the council as they go along. Mm-hmm. The last person who presented was the superintendent of the airport, and he was very upbeat. I think he was pointing out, well, he was upbeat with one caveat, and that has to do with trees and the area to the north of the major runway, which is still in a negotiation, apparently, between the city and the borough about just how to mitigate the growth of trees there so as to allow for the full use of the runway. And my understanding, when it all was said and done, was this was very concerning, needs to be done, been an issue that's been looked at for years and years. And I did not hear him say it's going to be finished immediately. There may be, it was a sort of a nod in the direction of saying, well, Mayor DeVries is moving over to the borough. She understands this issue. It's both absolutely a city and borough issue. Maybe there's some way to move this along to a solution.
Well, I thought about that too, Mike, but the city manager used to be the borough manager for 10 years, and that it didn't move very far then when he was the manager over there. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to look at. And it's kind of a complex from the surface, it looks easy, just cut down a bunch of trees, but it's not that simple. And there's a lot of passion around where those trees are and how the canopy contributes, but also on the other side is keeping the airport healthy and making sure it's safe for airplanes to get in and out of there. So there'll be more on that.
And there was also an announcement there was going to be an improvement in the runways that was coming soon too. So all in all, upbeat with what looked like we just have to take care of this negotiation and figure out a way to make both the camping area and the trail area useful, but also make it safe. So, yeah.
Right. So resolve it for once and forever. Quit kicking it down the road is what it sounds like.
Right. That was pretty much it. The executive director of Palmer Museum of History and Arts spoke briefly, but he was speaking primarily to the fact that the that Museum of History and Art is not a department necessarily directly of the city, but has a separate contract with the city to operate what it does. And that'll be part of the budget process.
Right. Yep.
Well, then we took a brief couple-minute break, and
literally.
Okay, yes, and then...
And by then, the mayor was back. I think she came back somewhere in the middle of the budget presentation, so she was there to gavel in on the regular meeting where all was present, including Dr. Valerius, who was on Zoom.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so, well, there were some things that were accomplished, I think, somewhere in the midst of what was an awkward, to my observation, a very confusing and borderline, if not overline, to being a non-professional meeting that had people scratching their heads, asking for some commentary by the attorney who's on the line, and he gave it, and then he seemed to have to repeat it because what I thought he said, I think I understood, and yet maybe it was not the kind of thing that some of the members wanted to hear, because asking for a repetition led me to believe they were hoping he would slip into saying something slightly different. That's just the read I had on that.
So the two things I think they're the big highlights had to do with a report. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
you're talking about the attorney hire. There were two big things there, I guess.
I think I'm confusing listeners, and so let's walk through it so that we separate out all of these pieces, because that was kind of my overview impression, because the attorney was asked for a comment on a number of things. But what we had going was, one, the hiring, the completion of the hiring of a new attorney, Mike Gaddy, who's been there for 15 years, will, as of the end of the year, no longer be the attorney. For the city. And so the hiring process went in, and I was having trouble finding references to how it had got to the point where the mayor had negotiated with the new attorney and had seemed to come to a conclusion where a contract would be signed. I might throw in here that there was a gentleman who appeared and spoke to this issue. And that's Jack Snodgrass, who for 25 years had been the city attorney. He's no longer a lawyer, and he was very clear both in making his presentation and saying, I'm not a lawyer. Well, whatever he had been and done and so on, what he brought to bear on the situation was a review of what was in code that was the outline for how to hire an attorney. And he submitted that from what he was reading, he did not see that that had been followed as a process here to hire a new attorney. And his parting shot was basically check with an attorney, because he wasn't presuming to give legal advice. And I think because this was part of an earlier presentation and comment by the mayor and the manager, at the end when there was a comment made, Mr. Snodgrass's presentation seemed to be sort of set aside, and the manager basically said, what I heard, well, the council can do it. It's going to have to make the final decision anyway, and although perhaps the process hadn't been followed exactly, it was suitable.
Yeah, that's a little kind of a scary thing, having to know we don't really hear of many bumps in the RFP process at the city so much as it's been addressed at the assembly. And the assembly hiring of the positions of clerk and attorney and that actually work for the council or for the assembly usually is pretty transparent, and there's a very clear process. This process, and I think there was some you know, talk about they were without a clerk and, you know, things might have been bumpy, but they thought they were okay. I'm not sure that that will hold up if somebody challenged. Well, there were four, as I remember it, Mike, four applicants. And if somebody didn't get the, that's normally what happens is whomever didn't get the award could go back and say, hey, you didn't follow your own process, which is in code. You're either going to go back and relook at all this, or I might sue you because guess what? I'm an attorney.
Right.
So
good point.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it just seemed odd that it would be brushed off like this isn't a problem because, and I'm a little disappointed in Mr. Moosey because he's been through the RFP process. He struggled with some of them. Nothing came out that I can remember that came out bad at the assembly, but he's pretty close. He's had some challenges in the past with the RFP process, so it'll be interesting to see how that
finally plays out.
Right.
So there was, of course, a series of other discussions. One of them, again, Mr. Moosey, during his report, shared that there was one more person to be interviewed, and the investigation regarding the release of a privileged communication between an attorney in a previous issue and the counsel would come to a close, and presumably at the 23rd meeting, that information would be provided. And it, as I remember, it would be provided as part of the packet, so everybody would have a chance to see what the investigation revealed. It was taking a look, just to remind people. Having an investigator with the Palmer Police Department take a look at who actually released that information that had been provided to the counsel by the external attorney.
Right.
Now, the one.
I think, just to resolve that. I think that they decided that it did need the report would need to be public. They were going to make an effort to have it.
Right.
On the agenda as
exactly.
an information item, so it should come back next council meeting, I would think, or maybe the one after that. And whatever action they take from that, that's yet to come.
And taking action seemed to be an intention of at least a majority of the council. There were, I think we can focus on issues associated with a continuing process to remove three of the council members, that's council member Daniels, Valerius, and Combs. There were people from the audience who spoke and said basically they should resign, they should leave, et cetera. In addition to that,
none of them were, I want to just say here, none of the people that spoke last night anyway, or Tuesday night, were residents of Palmer. They were all outside the city, residents from outside the city. But sorry, I just want to interject.
Well, that's useful. So the second part of it was that new council member Pamela Moline basically asked that the ethics process that's in code be implemented. It became a subject of some conversation because what that means was sort of difficult to pin down. And in fact, the way she had requested support from the council for doing that, Mr. Best said he would do that contingent upon the process actually happening after the first of the year. Because now we're running into an interesting set of card movements. The Mayor DeVries, will be finishing up, and she resigns as of the 22nd of this month. Then she'll be actually taking office then at and in presiding at the next assembly meeting after that. So what happens, the deputy mayor will step into her seat, and then there's a process that's outlined in code to be able to interview people, to advertise and interview people to fill his seat, since he will no longer be a council member, but he'll become the mayor through the next election. That then became a subject of discussion, of advertising, of doing it and all, to figure out when that actually would come to a point where you would be able to make a choice. And in this case, because of the change that had been made at a previous meeting, the mayor would get to choose who he thought should be in there. And the only way that would be changed is if a majority of the council overrode his selection. So that discussion was all sort of convoluted and the rest. But the one that I think that stuck out for me was Mr. Best in particular, who basically, and now we're talking about things that were happening toward the end of the meeting during comments. And there's been a slippage, I think, into using that time frame, which is designed to provide commentary, to move on to do some substantive motions and take action. Mm-hmm. And that's generally, from, you know, board meetings 101, a no-no. And mm-hmm. The way that played out was that Council Member Combs, who is finishing up 4 years on or so on the executive board of the AML.
Alaska Municipal League.
Mm-hmm. Asked for council support to continue in that role because that would something that will be happening this coming week as a ballot and so on. And basically, although she received support from one person, there was a long discussion about the rest of the council not supporting that. Could that be done in a vote? Should it be done later? Basically, I think Councilmember Combs pointed out either she had the support and she needed to know now, or it didn't matter what they were going to do 2 weeks from now, because this election that where she would be on the ballot would be this next week. Normally, as I have discovered, that this is something, this process for filling out a form and getting support from the council happens well before the week before the meeting.
By the clerk, usually.
Yeah, but because there's been so much of a turnover and turbulence within the clerk's office, that did not happen. In any case, the vote was 4-3. She did not receive support. And around that time, Mr. Best said, you know, let's just end this simply, because there's been continuing discussion about the recall petitions that are out, but basically saying he wanted the three people just to resign and then move on from there.
Yikes.
It was a, certainly was a, and I've tried to provide a simple fall line through all of this. But if someone wants to either listen or watch the video up on our YouTube channel, you can watch it. But I'm not sure that it's something that I would want to watch in its entirety, because it was it put the UGG in ugly.
Yeah. This is such a colossal waste of resources and time, in my personal opinion, Mike. And it's causing nothing but more division within the body. You know, Ms. Combs says nobody had anything bad to say about the service that she had on that board. To have someone from Palmer, Alaska, on the biggest organization in the state that brings municipalities and state governments together is kind of a big deal. And to just pull her off of that board, because it really did look like political annex, politics there, was just such a disservice to the city, in my estimation. And they have to get this figured out, because so little of the city's business is getting done. It's getting to be such a needed vendetta that something's going to have to happen big here, and I have a feeling it's going to.
Well, one of the last points, and I'll swing back to Mr. Snodgrass's presentation. He was clear in his presentation. He walked through the code. He deferred to legal opinion to validate whatever he was saying. I think the difference is that some members of the council have taken presentations from the public as somehow being determinative, in the sense that the three members that are under attack are guilty, mm-hmm. where that has not been made the case in any forum. The external lawyer who made a presentation said, this might be, and if you read this carefully, you see these things might be, but it's a very fuzzy area, et cetera, and a lot of caveats, but I did not hear him, read him saying they are guilty of this, nor is there other forums except in the minds of people who are making presentations and perhaps some of the council members.
Yeah, and it was based on a lot of evidence, it seems like, submitted by two council members, Mr. Carrington and Mr. Best. It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. As we saw the recall situation in Anchorage, it always makes me laugh because everybody doesn't want to be like Anchorage, but they're ready to recall council members over something that happened months ago, which has to do with being a member of a Facebook group that there's members of the council that don't approve of. But that was thousands and thousands of dollars cost the city of Anchorage to do that. And the result wasn't good for the people that brought that to the table. And it divided the community. And I just don't think that works out very well. But we'll see what happens, won't we?
We will indeed. Next week, of course, we have both the assembly meeting, which is the last meeting that will not be.
Mayor Halter.
Yeah, Mayor Halter will be doing that one, and then the school board. And then we move on to the 23rd, which will be the next chapter in whatever is happening at the city of Palmer.
Yep. So it will be, Mike. We'll need a break between now and then.
Got it. Well, rest up. Enjoy the sun, if not the warmth. And we'll be back next week with another edition of The Citizen Lobbyist.
All right. All right, Mike. Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.